Okay, Wednesday, 7/24/23. We're going to look at engaging the helper tonight. Won't be real long, but it's informative. All right, Hebrews 13:6. So that we, oh, you need another Bible?
No, I was just seeing what version okay. It says.
You want that one?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Oh, is this one yours?
No, it's just this. It doesn't matter. They're both up for up here. I just I looked at this, and this is this is not the Bible I've been using. So, are you good with that?
It don't matter to me.
Okay.
I just didn't.
Sometimes you get used to a Bible.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, now that we've got all this taken care of, the right Bible, let's read Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. That means to run or succor. I guess you say it's succor or succor. C-S-U-C-C-O-R-E-R, succor. The dictionary says succor, to run to the rescue, bring aid, or relief. Okay, we're going to look at one more scripture. It talks about the help or helpeth. This is Romans 8:26. I say, Lord, I helpeth. I need your helpeth. Need your helpeth. Always. 8:26. And this one I've read the scripture many times. Here's, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, I like to say himself because he's not an it, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right, helpeth there, to take hold of, opposite together, cooperate, or assist. It's kind of like, you don't have to carry the load all by yourself. He's there to help you carry the load. It's kind of like the analogy that I used when I started teaching about the apostles and prophets, about the draft horse, about the draft horse races that C. Peter Wagner? Anyway, in the races, you know, one horse could pull 4,000 pounds and two could do 10 or something, analogy like that. All right. I think this scripture says it all. This is Deuteronomy. We can go ahead and turn there. This is chapter 32. This scripture came to mind whenever I was thinking about the draft horses. 32, 30 and 31. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock. All right, so who is our rock? Jesus is our rock. He sent his comforter to help us. All right, so what is that saying? If one could chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. So, if we put the helper to work for us, why would we not use the helper? Why do we try to jump out and just do stuff on our own when we could wait and get help? Isn't anybody better off with help? Yeah. All right. For their rock is not our rock. The world, they go after and they do all kinds of things and they try to solve their problems. In fact, I was reading something today and I'm thinking, you just never do include us, do the most important parts. You never put us in there. Talking about the digital soldiers. I'm thinking, you are just a lame brain. Because If it wasn't for the spiritual soldiers, there wouldn't be no digital soldiers or any other kind of soldier doing anything. And you know how this is being done? By the help of the Holy Ghost. This plan is God's plan, and they need to quit saying that it's all natural, because it is not. He has come alongside us to help us win over the devil. It goes so much deeper than they report. I said, Lord, we've got our work cut out for us, for people to recognize that and to get on board with that. Okay, Matthew 11. Get on my soapbox here. All right, Matthew 11, 29 and 30. I think we read this last week. Well, let's do 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What happens when the Holy Spirit yokes up with us? It's like a breath of fresh air. Because we're struggling, and He gives us a word, and it brings peace, and it lightens our load. Isn't that the point? To lighten our load. All right, I want to read to you Faith Food. This is on 7:22. If you don't have this, it's a good little devotion to have. I like the health food really well, but this one is just helps us with our faith here. This is one of his devotions. It says to learn to listen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will show you things to come. Huh. So you don't have to wonder about them. This is what Brother Hagin says here. A minister friend of mine had 3 serious automobile accidents in less than 10 years. People were killed in these accidents. His wife was almost killed, and the minister himself was seriously injured. Both he and his wife were healed by the hand of God. When he heard me teaching along these lines of listening to your spirit, the inward witness, he said, Brother Hagin, every one of those accidents could have been avoided if I had listened to the inward intuition. Yet people will argue, I just don't know why those accidents happen to a good Christian. He's a preacher. Well, he had to learn to listen to his spirit just like you had to learn to listen to yours. Just because you're a preacher don't make you exempt. People want to blame God and say that God did these things. But as this preacher told me, if I had listened to the inward intuition I had that something was about to happen, I would have waited and prayed. Instead, I said, I'm busy. I don't have time to pray. Or they called me and want me to pray for them. Many times, if we had waited on God, when we had that inward witness, God would have shown us things and we could have avoided problems. But let's not moan and groan about our past failures. Let's take advantage of our present opportunities and make sure that we follow our inward witness in the future. Let us learn to develop our spirit and learn to listen to it and then obey it. This confession, I'm becoming spirit conscious. I'm developing my spirit and I'm listening to it. You know, just like, you know, as people, we have to learn. We grow and we have to learn things about our physical body and our capabilities and all these things. But it's the same way in the spirit. Spiritual growth. A lot of people just ignore the spirit. Some people live and die. Now, I know there's a natural intuition, but this is not a natural intuition. This is the Holy Spirit witnessing to us, don't go there, don't do that. Very simple. What is the problem? I mean, it's very simple to follow. He's there to help us. What? Help us stay out of trouble. Help us not make a wrong decision. Because when you make a wrong decision, what happens? There's repercussions. Always. When you make the right decision, there's also repercussions. Good ones. We like to blame people, we like to blame God, but really, at the end of the day, it's basically our decisions that get us in a mess or keep us out of a mess, right? All right, that's what these few little teachings are about, learning to walk by the Spirit. A lot of people think, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you know, if you trained your spirit like you train that body of yours, there's people I've known, they are obsessed with diet and exercise. Obsessed. They live it, they sleep it, they eat it, they drink it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Now, the obsession, it bothers me. But if they did that with their spirit, what a powerhouse they'd be. And that's everlasting. That's not just a physical, because I'm telling you, you can do all the right things as far as physically, but if you quit doing it, it just all goes to pot, and it don't take very long. You quit using your muscles, you end up with flab, you know what I'm saying? But in the spirit, you don't lose that. Okay. He's there to keep you out of trouble. Go ahead and mark that. All right. A Christian does not have to go shipwreck. They don't have to. Paul talked about, you know, shipwrecking, or was it Peter? But anyway, shipwreck faith. Well, I don't think they understand, because I know us as believers, as faith people, we were doing all the things that the big dogs were doing and getting results, and we got none because we were doing it in the flesh and they were doing it in the spirit. See, they had matured to that place and they'd grown to that place. And we had tried to do it and fall flat on our face. I can remember when we first started learning from Brother Hagin and some of the faith teachers. Danny was in bed with the flu or something. And I think I had it too, but I was up walking the floor, and I was probably reading one of these books and reading the Word. It took us some years to be able to apply this just like anybody else. Anything in the natural, you've got to learn to apply principles and different things in different walks of life. It is no, why do people think you don't have to develop your spirit? You can just let the natural do everything? What a worthless life. What a waste. I mean, it's a waste when you can be a powerhouse inside. And that's eternal. Okay. Learning to listen to the stoplight or the green light. Okay. What do little kids do? I do it myself. Sometimes we want to tell God, I don't want to be told what to do. I want to do it myself. I want to do it my way. This is the way I've always done it. This way I'm going to do it. And the Lord said, okay, go ahead. And then we come back a few years later, all beat up and kicked around. And, well, Lord, why didn't you keep your promise to me? And he said, well, I tried to get you to listen to me, but you wouldn't. You got to go his way to appropriate his promises. You can't just do your own thing and say, well, you know, because we tried for years. Well, we just didn't get it. We didn't get the between the spirit and the flesh, you know. If you could just learn this and it's all of a sudden it just all worked, that'd be great, but it doesn't. No. I'm going to read you another. Brother Hagin made everything so simple, and the man walked it. That's why he's the only person the Lord's ever told me, if you've got questions about things, you probably could find it in one of his books, and you're free to do it. All right, July 23rd, where is he? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That abode's based on his word. As Jesus goes on teaching in chapter 14 of John, he begins to teach about the Holy Spirit coming to us. Jesus and the Father in the person of the Holy Spirit come to abide in us. He's there all the time. Sometimes I figure he's saying, will you listen to me? At present, Jesus literally, with his resurrected body, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Yet the Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the reason why Christ is in us is because the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit said through Paul, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, we read, "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." But people get born again, and they never pursue anything further than that, and they have no fellowship. There's no abiding. I mean, the Holy Spirit's there, but he's just dormant. I mean, it used to flabbergast me that people that speak in tongues never use their prayer language. I thought, they just don't know the powerhouse they have. That activates spiritual activity in your life. We've never plumbed the depths of what this is really saying. God is dwelling in us. Therefore, if God is dwelling in us, then that is where God is going to speak to us. Duh. Now we know why people live their whole lives out. They get born again, but they don't use their prayer language, or they're not filled with the Spirit, and they don't know this is how you hear. This is how you get answers. This is how you get leadership. Therefore, God is dwelling in us. Then that is where God is going to speak to us, where he is in our hearts or our spirits. God communicates with us through our spirits. Our spirits pick up things from the Holy Spirit, then passes them on to our mind by an inward intuition or inward witness. So when you got a problem, you need to go pray in the Spirit. What does that do? That's when the Holy Spirit, like it says, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And also talks about, you know, he comes alongside to help us when we activate him by the Spirit. Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. All right. I'm going to read 24 also. I wrote it down here. Here's the number two way that the Holy Spirit leads us, by the inward voice. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." That's Romans 9:1. We're going to read those scriptures here in a minute. The number one way the Holy Spirit guides us is through the inward witness. The number two way is through the inward voice. Have you ever had the voice of the Holy Spirit cause you to jump? It was so loud. I have. In fact, one time I had a station wagon that broke down all the time for the whole 10 years we had it. We'd go somewhere and we'd come out and it'd do that, you know, it wouldn't start. Never did they ever fix it, never could fix it. It was just a lemon. We should have gotten it replaced when we first got it. But anyway, took a trip with the kids. We got stuck and coming home in 3-digit heat, no air conditioner, couldn't stop the car. You know, I come home, I'm saying, I don't care if I ever pay my tithe again. I am not going to never again be in this situation. Well, anyway, I got a car. And so one day I'm coming home from church and I'm griping because we don't have money to go to lunch because everybody else got to go to lunch and we don't get to go to lunch. The Holy Spirit said, well, I forgot a part of that. I just told Denny, I said, if I never pay my tithe again, I don't care. I'm going to have a new car. So we quit paying the tithe. The Holy Spirit said, if you'd pay your tithe, you'd have money to go to lunch too. And it was so loud, and I said, I wasn't talking about that. You ever argue with the Holy Spirit? So we went back to paying our tithe. Yeah, and we went out to eat, too. It's kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face. All right, let me read. Okay. The number one way the Holy Spirit guides us is through the inward witness. The number two way is through the inward voice. The inward man has a voice just as the outward man has a voice. We call the voice of the inward man the conscience. Well, I don't know if I agree with that or not, but we'll leave that there for now. Sometimes it is also called intuition, inner guidance, or the still small voice. It's not the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us, because when the Holy Spirit speaks, His voice is more authoritative. Like I said, I like to jump out of my body. I mean, it just shocked me. It was so loud and so authoritative. And that's not the only time I've heard it. The still small voice is the voice of our own spirit, yet our spirits pick it up from the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Usually, I hear, you know, when I'm seeking the Lord for something, it's usually pretty quiet. For example, I write in the devotion of July 19th how a buzzer seemed to go off inside me as I stepped inside that building that was for sale in Tulsa. See, they lived in Garland, Texas, and their ministry was out of their house and their garage, and they went to, I don't know why they're in Oklahoma, but they had a friend that had an office building that said, I found the perfect building for your ministry. And he said, they didn't want to move it to Tulsa. He said, I knew on the inside this is it, but I didn't want to listen. When my wife asked about it later, I said, no, we'll just stay where we are. But when we went to bed that night, I couldn't get to sleep. My conscience was hurting. My spirit knew I hadn't listened to it. So I said, Lord, in the natural, I don't want to move to Tulsa, but if that's what you want, I won't stand in your way. Suddenly on the inside of me, that still small voice said, I'm going to give you that building. You watch me. And God did just that. So we have to train ourselves to obey the voice of the Spirit, even if it's something that we don't want to hear. In that case, it was something he didn't want to hear. He didn't want to move to Tulsa. All right. So how do we engage the helper? We ask and wait for his reply. Isaiah 40:31 talks about those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, mount up as eagles. So you can't mount up if you have not waited. Okay. All right, I'll read those three scriptures I mentioned a while ago. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So we become his temple. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:16-18. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So this is where our knowledge is going to come from within. God's dwelling in us. He's living in us. He's leading and guiding us. All right, Romans. I read Romans a while ago. We'll read it again. This is Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So Brother Hagin says the only way that a Christian can... Actually, I think the next devotion is about the conscience. The only way that a person can trust their conscience is if they're born again. Because man's fallen. That's what happened to Adam. I think that's when the conscience came into place. And so, anyway, let's just read it. It's the next one. See what he has to say. This is the 25th of July, conscience. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So I think what Brother Hagin was saying was, you know, if you're led by the Spirit, it's a safe guide, but if you're not, it isn't. Is your conscience a safe guide? He said it right there. I didn't look at this. Isn't that something? Yes, it is. If your spirit has become a new man in Christ, remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. That's talking about the inward man, the spirit of man. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit speaking to you. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but that's what he says. If your spirit is a new man in Christ with the life and nature of God in it, then it is a safe guide. A person who has never been born again could not follow the voice of his spirit or conscience because his unregenerate spirit would have the nature of the devil in it. His conscience would permit him to do anything. When you have the life and nature of God in you, your conscience will not permit you to do just anything. When you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God is living and abiding in your spirit. Well, the fact is, a lot of Christians are doing a lot of things they shouldn't be doing nowadays. There's a lot of people say they're Christians that are homosexuals and transgenders. And so they violated that. So as a Christian, is it a safe guide? I don't know. Not alone, I don't think so. Yeah. So I guess you can make your own conclusion there. Confession here. I'm a new man in Christ with the life and nature of God abiding in my spirit. Therefore, my conscience is a safe guide. All right. If we want the helper to help us, we are going to have to lay aside emotion. I put here, and circumstances. They are not what dictate what we do. We're not to be moved by those things. We're to wait on the Holy Spirit, the helper, to tell us, okay, do this or do that, or don't do anything. Okay. Wait upon the Lord. That goes back to, here we go, Matthew 6:33, about seeking first the kingdom. Then all these things will be taken care of. When you put me first, you listen to me first. He's wisdom. He's been made unto us wisdom. And that's how we, as Christians, have to learn. This is how we are supposed to walk, not just by doing fleshly things. We've grown up in churches where all they did was fleshly things, even word of faith. I'm telling you, word of faith people that don't know how to do warfare, they don't know how to get healed, they don't know anything about it. They hear all the stuff and they try all the methods like the big dogs do, and the big dogs maybe can do it, and they know what they're doing, but the people aren't getting it. How are they going to get it? They're going to have to seek God just like the ones that teach it. The ones that teach it get it, obviously. And we saw that in Brother Hagin's life for sure. But it doesn't just happen overnight. It's something we have to apply ourselves to. We have to, just like you have to train your natural body and whatever method you do, exercise or whatever, to do a certain thing, you have to train your spirit the same way. All right. That'll be all.